Well, folks, that's all for another episode of Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast. Produced by Trust in Haven, the Whitehaven Rugby League Independent Supporters Trust. Hope you enjoyed it and will join us for our next podcast. To find out more, visit our website at www.trustinhaven.com. Hi folks, it's time for another episode of the Haven Rugby League Fans Podcast with all the latest news and reviews from the Haven. Faz and Stubbsy from Trust in Haven welcome you to this latest episode of our podcast by the Whitehaven Rugby League Independent Supporters Trust. Here we go.
Right.
Right, all. And after the bank holiday highlights with great performance from Whitehaven, it's another week on in the rugby league season. And rather than talking just about Whitehaven, just about our own club, take a wider view on things. And that end, once again, we welcome back our good friend from loverugbyleague.com, James Gordon. Welcome along to our podcast this afternoon, James.
Afternoon, Dave.
Yeah, good to have you back with us again. As I said, loverugbyleague.com, it's always there, got right at the heart of the game, you know, getting news out sort of, almost as it's happening. So hopefully James will be able to give us some insights into what's going on, give his views on them. And as always, we have this afternoon our Haven fan from Greater Manchester, Paul Stubbs. Welcome along again, Paul.
Yeah, hi everybody.
So as I say, we'll start near at home, but as I say, hopefully we'll cover a bit of ground this afternoon. So yeah, welcome along, James. As I say, last weekend in the championship, it's probably starting to pan out as the end of the season, placing starting to take shape. Looks like London and Toulouse will be the two teams to contest the promotion game. Will there be a team promoted from the championship? I suppose that's the first question, James. Is that still the plan? Is that still what's going to happen? The top.
Yeah, I think. There was obviously talk. There was talk maybe a couple of months ago that, or maybe last month even, that they were going to suspend relegation from Super League.
That's right.
But I think there was always, I spoke to the RFL and they said that they've got an agreement in place with Super League that they've got to promote a championship team this season. So, if they didn't want to relegate a team, they would have had to have expanded Super League, whether that be to 13 teams or to 14 teams. Obviously, there was a bit of a murmur of the 14 team thing happening, but my understanding now is that it'll just be exactly the same next season, still 12 teams in Super League. So you will have Lee coming down from Super League, and then whoever wins the grand final, championship grand final, will get promoted to Super League for next season.
Yeah. And that grand final looking increasing like it's going to be Toulouse. Well, it looks almost certain it's going to be Toulouse.
Yeah, and obviously it'll be in France if it is Toulouse. Unless something drastic happens in the next couple of weeks. But yeah, they'll play their semi-final. They've obviously guaranteed a semi-final place already. So that game's in France on October the 2nd, I think it is. And then, should they win that match, then the grand final will be in France the week after.
Yeah. They're going to play it at the big stadium in Toulouse, I believe. The one the rugby union in Toulouse soccer team play out there.
The rugby union teams, they're quite tight with them now. It's very much... That was where they were going to play their home games anyway this year. And last year, but clearly they've not been able to have any home games this year. And it's a nice stadium, and it'll certainly be a good addition to Super League for sure if they can go up. I'm sure there'll be some Yorkshire clubs who'll want to upset the apple cart and prevent that happening. But it'd have to take something special to stop Toulouse. And I suppose it'd be very it'd be very disappointing, I think, for most people if Toulouse don't manage to get promoted.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if any clubs, I mean, you know, hats off to Featherstone. They've improved the ground. They've boosted the squad. They've, you know, maybe in another time, they would have been nailed on for Super League. But Toulouse have really done things at a higher level than that, even, haven't they? And, you know, they look set to reap the rewards for that, don't they? But, yeah.
Yeah, I think the important thing for me is that teams should be promoted based on what happens on the pitch first and foremost. And, you know, ultimately, if Featherstone do win the grand final and or whatever and earn promotion, then, you know, they've earned the right to do that, and that would be perfectly fine. You know, Featherstone are probably, well, arguably Featherstone are probably the most unlucky team with regards to getting promoted to Super League, because of course the years that they were dominating the Championship was the years when it was licensing and they couldn't get promoted. So you know, it'll take something special, but at the same time it piles a lot of pressure on Toulouse because they'll be the heavy favourites at home.
That's right.
You know, I was just looking at the way the playoffs might pan out, and you know, John Kerr might fancy a bit of an upset if he takes Bradford over there, for instance, in the playoffs. And, you know, that certainly sets some cat amongst the pigeons if that happened.
Yeah, yeah. But I'd say Bradford have been getting better all season. You know, I was just going to sort of ask you about, you know, winners and losers, I suppose, in the Championship this season. I suppose the biggest loser must be Swinton, who are already relegated, who seem to be a team that were able to hold their own the last couple of seasons, but they just couldn't buy a win this year, eh?
Yeah, they had a few sort of close games that they lost out on. They seem to always play better against the stronger teams and then lose the games around them. I mean, to be fair, I think Dewsbury have probably struggled. They picked up some wins early on, which if they hadn't have won, they might have found themselves down there. I mean, you know, Widnes are probably fortunate that Oldham and Swinton have been the worst two teams by a distance, because otherwise Widnes could have been sucked into sort of that relegation, you know, relegation battle at the bottom. You know, obviously you've seen Whitehaven in recent weeks have shot up the table. The top six has pretty much been the top six for most of the season.
Yes.
You know, it's pretty much been, you know, Batley obviously got in there pretty early doors and have maintained it. And the other five have been in there for the out, you know, for the whole thing. I mean, it's a shame London beat Sheffield last week, because if they'd have lost that game, Whitehaven would have been putting some real pressure on them for that playoff spot. Yeah, yeah. I think Whitehaven are probably going to run out of time to get that. They've still got a chance, but I'd imagine they'd probably have more of a chance if there was maybe five or six games left rather than the two or three that are left. You know, but it certainly would have been interesting had London slipped up. I think London play, they've got Swinton, I think, have they, this week.
So they're getting the fixtures that against the teams that they would expect to beat at the right time, really, isn't it? That's it.
So, you know, I think Halifax have gone pretty well. You know, Halifax are up there in third, and I've not really thought much of Bradford when I've seen them, but you know, they've won a lot more than they've lost, and they're up there. Batley at home will be a pretty tough place to go. I suppose it depends on who's going to get them third or fourth place. You know, because that's still up for grabs, really. You know, Halifax, Bradford and Batley all could still finish third. You know, and getting that third place means that you're going to be at home, or third and fourth means you're going to be at home in that first playoff game.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd say one team you haven't mentioned there is York. I think York, like your guys at Widnes, were perhaps one of the fancied outsiders, but as with Widnes, it hasn't worked out that way at York either, has it, really?
No, I mean, to be fair, I said I didn't think much of York pre-season. You know, everyone was talking about all these players that they'd signed from Super League and whatnot, and they just signed a lot of mid-30s forwards, I thought, and, you know, they had Ryan Atkins as well, and I just didn't. They didn't seem to me like they had the options at fullback and halfback and hooker. And, you know, clearly the halfbacks that they did bring in both went down injured. And I seem to get a press release every week saying that York have signed someone on loan. And I think whatever their strategy was recruitment-wise this year, I think they'll change it drastically next year because it's obviously not paid off. I would imagine that they've probably spent... I bet they've probably got the third or fourth biggest budget in the league, and you know, yes, they're down in eighth spot. And to be fair, they're in that eighth spot having picked up a couple of wins in recent weeks. I also think they've had the new stadium. I think obviously with the COVID times, it's been a bit difficult. I don't know whether they thought it was a bit of a build. If we build it, they will come sort of thing. Yeah. I think it's probably not going to be as easy as maybe they thought.
Yeah, post-pandemic.
They seem to be sort of everyone was raving about York, weren't they?
That's right.
When they went in for the Super League thing. But, you know, I always say, well, York's had a team since 1901. You know, yeah, it's been in two different guises, but they've had a team since 1901. So they've had 120 years to get to this point. So, you know, it's like, well, what makes people think that it's going to go any different than it has in the past? But, you know, I think it makes it interesting in terms of next season, because clearly you'd expect York and Widnes to be, you know, to be a lot better next season.
Absolutely.
Just going on from that, Whitehaven could have a saying, and he finishes third here, because we've actually got to play Halifax, Batley and Bradford. They're our last three games.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure Whitehaven aren't too fussed about who finishes third.
No, exactly. But we could sort of cause an upset somewhere, couldn't we?
Yeah, well, I mean, obviously, I spent some time looking at the fixtures last week because I was just trying to see whether Whitehaven still could make it in. You know, London have still got to play York and Featherstone. They play Swinton this week, which is obviously you'd expect them to beat Swinton. But, you know, I know Whitehaven have got a tough game against Batley. If Whitehaven could win all three, then they'd have a chance. I mean, but I wouldn't say that. You know, that's clearly not going to be easy, but I don't think it's beyond the realms of possibility that could happen. You know, it's certainly if Whitehaven can win this week, it'll certainly, you know, give them a lot of confidence that they could maybe do it. But as you say, I think Batley have got to play Dewsbury as well. And then I think the last game is Halifax-Batley as well. So the last round is Halifax versus Batley. So you might get to a point where, you know, basically whoever wins that one gets to, they might end up playing each other the following week, you know, and
just to backtrack a bit. This conversation happened on Monday when I ended up phoning Dave, and I was talking to an acquaintance of ours, Mr. Hayes. Have Toulouse played enough games to qualify?
Yeah, so they, the RFL have said that the games that are postponed due to teams refusing to travel will still count towards their percentage.
So they've actually changed the rules?
So, I think they've not changed the rules in terms of the minimum, but they're basically saying that any games that are off because teams have refused to travel aren't counted as, you know, are still counted as having been played, if that makes sense, in terms of the... Because, you know, because clearly it's not Toulouse's fault if teams are refusing to travel to France. So you can't penalise Toulouse. You know, you can't penalise Toulouse because teams won't go over and play there.
Yeah.
And, you know, and likewise, you probably can't force the forfeit on part-time teams who refuse to go over there. You know, in reality, the RFL could have penalised every team who refused to travel and made it a 24-0 forfeit like they did with London Broncos, but they haven't done that. So Toulouse, everyone in the division has played enough games to reach the playoffs, and that includes Toulouse.
Good. Yeah. Well, I'd say 3 weeks left, still a lot to play for. Just speaking about Whitehaven against Widnes last weekend, which you probably don't want to do, James. But anyway, there was a significant number of Widnes fans there. They were take your hat off to them for supporting the team on what was a pretty bad day. And I noticed this week the club has come out and made a public apology to the fans for for the way, not just for last weekend, but the way things have gone this season. Do you think has Widnes been unlucky, or have they contributed to their own downfall?
No, I think Widnes has been in a bad way this season. To be fair, I think clearly the recruitment has been an issue in terms of, you know, yeah, they didn't have a hooker really. Obviously, Logan Tompkins got injured. They didn't have a hooker, so it took them a few weeks really to get one. And they got a young lad on loan from Wigan in Brad O'Neill, and he did well for a spell, and then he got recalled.
Yeah.
But even with the forwards, they recruited some similar to York really, where, you know, they brought in Matt Cook and Lee Jewett and Paul Clough, all sort of experienced Super League forwards. But Cook and I think Jewett's played 20 minutes all season. Cook's missed more than he's played. And, you know, they've been massively short on forwards all year. And I just think when you've not got the forwards, you know, you just can't compete. And obviously that's basically why they ended up moving Matty Smith into loose forward, because it just gave him an extra rotation.
Yeah.
In the pack, they had a bit of a spell. They had five or six games in June, July time where they actually played. They were playing okay. And that coincided with them probably having the best period of availability of players, I think, through the season. But I think one of the difficulties has been for Widnes is they've just not been able to get players in on loan because of the COVID situation.
Yeah.
Whereas typically in a normal situation, if you loaned a player from Warrington, you'd be able to train with Warrington in the day and then come and train with Widnes at night.
Yeah.
The COVID protocols mean that they're not allowed to do that. So there are players, and Widnes have had a couple of these players this season where they want to train in the day. They don't want to just sit twiddling their thumbs all day and then train at Widnes two nights a week.
Yeah.
And so that's caused issues in terms of getting players in, getting bodies in. And that's in stark contrast to the Yorkshire teams, who seem to have players coming out their ears at all times, you know, where there's, you know, clearly there's lots of clubs with surplus players that can pad out the squad. So, I think there's, to be honest, there's a lot of fan concern around Widnes at the moment. And I think there's going to be some concern about how that might impact on season tickets. You know, with all due respect to Whitehaven, Widnes have gone from beating Wigan in Super League 5 years ago away to be, you know, having 60 points beaten, you know, being beaten by 60 points at Whitehaven. You know, some people are saying it's, you know, it was the worst defeat in the club's history sort of thing in terms of, you know, where the teams are in the game and stuff like that. And, you know, hear a lot of excuses about players and player availability and stuff, which is fine. But I think even they named 16 on the team sheet on Sunday.
That's right.
But even with 16, you know, you could sort of use that as an excuse if you competed in the first half. But I mean, it was 28-0 at half time. So clearly it went out the window. But it'd be interesting to see how it all pans out for Widnes in the next. They seem to be recruiting okay for next season. So I think it's been one of them. The main issue has been the recruitment, and clearly you can't put that right mid-season. You've got to wait until the next season. As I said earlier, they're probably fortunate that Oldham and Swinton have been that bad that they never really got into any trouble down the bottom of the table.
Yeah,
they only actually used 15 they had 16 now. Used 15, didn't they?
But you know, they've won games where they've only used 15 this season. You know,
it can go for you, go against you. You just hit Whitehaven when they were actually on a good spell.
Yeah, they've won games where they've only used 15 or 16 because, you know, clearly they've just named people on the team to make up the numbers. but, you know, for Widnes to have got into a situation where that's actually happened is, you know, bearing in mind that two seasons ago, Widnes had a reserve team and an academy.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then, you know, 2 years later, they're playing at Whitehaven with 16. It's like, well, you know, you can see why the fans look at it and think, well, what's going on?
What's going on? As you said, time to put things right is coming up. As I say, the season will be over in the next month or so, and that's when your changes and adjustments can be made. But just on that point, as I say, we'll leave the championship behind for this year. I think we've covered that well, and thanks for that, James. Moving on to next year, we're going to talk about what may be the structure, what may not be the structure. One of the big things next year, you're talking about recruitment of players for 2022. one of the big a big announcement made recently, which I think could have an impact on player recruitment next year, is this thing where the Rugby League have said that the reserve competition is going to come in next year. So will that mean potential players at Super League clubs who might be on season-long loans or even up for transfer will be retained at those clubs now? And so is that not going to have an impact?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think I probably, yeah, it certainly is. It's going to have an impact because, you know, Warrington, for instance, you know, use Warrington as their, well, I mean, Warrington, but, you know, clearly if they're going to need to carry an extra 20 players to play reserves, that then means that they're going to be less reluctant, they're going to be more reluctant to send players out. I think they're trying to alternate the reserves and the academy, aren't they? So I think the reserves and academy play alternate weeks. So I think there's possibly the potential that it won't be as impactful as it might previously have been. But I mean, witness as an example of seeing that one of their young lads is St. Helens are signing him, you know, and he won't get anywhere near the first team, but you know, they can put him in the academy or the reserve team. And he'd much rather be full time, you know, playing in the reserves at St. Helens than he would be, you know, sitting on the bench for witness perhaps.
So it'd be interesting to see what impact the event, if any, or what impact it might have on recruitment. But as I say, that's just one question mark against the 2022s. The other one is just exactly what's going to happen to the Rugby League. I think there's been a number of meetings held, clubs meetings being held in recent times. There's been different, alternatives, propositions put on the table. So where do you make of it? Where the Rugby League from Super League through Championship down to League One, where's it going to be next year, James?
My understanding is the two leagues of 10 that they were talking about is probably going to happen in 2023.
Right.
Which sort of means that next season you're not fighting to get promoted as such. You're just fighting not to get relegated. You know, because clearly if there's 12 teams in Super League, you'd have to finish in the top, I don't know, 4, 5 or 6 in Championship next season. There's a bit of a conversation about, well, how do they make sure that, you know, League One have still got something to play for? So I think all them things are getting, you know, going to get ironed out.
There was talk about the teams out, the teams that make the 20, that's to be them, and the ones outside of it, it'd just be like glorified national conference teams.
I think they're still trying to get to the bottom of that. Clearly, there's concerns about what happens to the, you know, you can't sort of just wipe your hands at the clubs that don't make it in the top 20. Yeah. And that's for various reasons, you know. Clearly, it'd be a blow for Whitehaven if they didn't finish in the top, if they're not in the chosen 20. But even teams like Coventry, who are coming along quite nicely in League One, you don't want to wipe your hands of them.
Even the West Wales Raiders are showing improvement this year. You know, credit to them.
Yeah, you know, and I think they just need to iron out how that's going to look. So, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if you end up with a, you know, maybe even with a bigger division. So you almost have two leagues of 10, and then maybe a bigger league that sits outside of that with everyone else in. I mean, the bottom line is that the only reason they're changing the structure is so that they can share the money between less teams.
Less teams. That's all about, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
And what has precipitated all this? What has really driven all this is the TV deal. Yeah. And the fact that Sky just aren't prepared to put the money in they've put in for the last 20 years. Yeah. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and you know, to be honest, I think it's probably Rugby League's probably had its day in terms of relying on that TV money. Yeah. I think probably for too many years, you know, Rugby League's taken that Sky Sports money for granted, and instead of investing in things and improving, it's just sort of being frittered away. You know, compare Wakefield to Featherstone, if you like. Wakefield have been in Super League for 22, 23 years, think about how many millions of pounds that they've had in that time.
Yeah.
And then compare that to Featherstone, who've never once been in Super League. And compare the work that Featherstone have done to their ground and to their facilities. Compare what they've done in comparison to Wakefield. So,
absolutely.
you know, you look at all that, it's all right, people complaining, oh, well, you know, the money's gone down, but it's like, have you done what you should have done with the money that you've had in the first place? You know, and I, you know, and I go back to Widnes again, but Widnes is a good example of what the disparity in funding does, because effectively Widnes have lost their academy and, you know, all that player development because they don't get the Super League money anymore. Really, now, if you just put Widnes straight back into Super League instead of Salford, for instance, all that stuff would come back straight away.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, well, how do you get to the point where these clubs can start sustaining that without it being a case of you either got the Sky money or you haven't? And I think that's the big challenge. And I think clubs have just got complacent with it, you know, because clubs know that it's coming. It means that they're not as commercially savvy as maybe they ought to be.
I mean, it was certainly the case going back about 50, going back to the, you know, the early 2000s when I was perhaps more involved at board level at Whitehaven. And at that point, the rugby league had people like Alf Davies, who had been at Leeds, and they had various other people. I think Chris there, who you maybe know, were part of this club support unit. Guy who played for, I can't think, he's from Warrington, Adam Jude, yeah, remember him? I think he's working for Puma Sportswear now. But anyway, all them guys were part of a club support unit who were coming in and helping clubs set up projects to get more commercially savvy and be able to sustain all these things you're talking about. But I don't know what's happened over the last decade or so, but all that's gone, you know. Whether the clubs didn't want it or whether the rugby leagues thought, you know, we don't need to do it, but as I say, that was there maybe 15, 20 years ago. It certainly isn't there now, and the clubs are left with practically nothing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think the problem is that I think the clubs that get or the clubs you know, obviously I do a bit of work in other sports and I look at sports like ice hockey, you know, I work with some, I've seen some clubs who are really commercially savvy in ice hockey, but ultimately that's because they have to generate every bit of income that they need. They don't get any central funding. So, you know, whereas a club like, you know, say Swinton, for example, they know that they're going to get X 100,000 a year. You know, Oldham's a good example, actually. Oldham pretty much just run their playing budget off the central funding. And it's like, well, you know, are they really adding anything to the pool? Are they really doing anything? Compared with other sports, the ice hockey clubs know, right, if we want to spend X amount on players, we've got to sell sponsorships, we've got to sell shirts, we've got to sell tickets to matches. And I think that's where rugby league's got lost along the way, is that all these clubs have just become a bit complacent and a bit...
I think it's significant. What one of the things around the Sky deal and why it's been reduced... is that Sky is saying there's too many games being played with backdrops of empty terraces and stands not being used. Surely, you know, the club should have been out there selling those empty seats in schools, in community groups, stuff like that, to get people in, you know. And it doesn't happen, does it?
The thing is, with the rugby league attitude seems to be they just try and squeeze as much out of the people they've already got. They want to sell, you know, they just bring out another shirt. You know, that's all they seem to do. That seems to be the only marketing strategy at the moment. You know, I was just thinking when everyone was making a song and dance about Toronto, oh yeah, they're going to bring all these sponsors, and it's like, well, yeah, that's fine, but If you've got Wakefield versus Toronto on Sky on a Thursday night, who in their own right mind in North America is going to look at that and think, yeah, we want to chuck money at that? It's just not going to... I mean, even Toronto's ground themselves probably didn't look the best on TV anyway.
Yeah.
But, you know, yeah, you're right about the empty seats. But, you know, I think generally TV money's in all sports is probably going down because that's just the way things, you know, watching...
Do you see any alternatives how the game can maybe make up that shortfall, James? It's not going to happen overnight, but it's going to take time and take effort. But Any thoughts on that?
I don't see a way of it being replaced directly, to be honest. I think clubs are going to have to adjust in many different ways to try and recruit that money. I mean, the bottom line is that most of the TV money just goes on player wages anyway. So if the TV money drops, then the player wages just have to drop. That's pretty much how it'll roll. You know, everyone talks about streaming and stuff like that, but I don't know how successfully Rugby League will be able to monetize that. They've just got to keep working with Sky, and you know, they've got this deal for the next 2 years, and then it's a case of, well, let's see where we are after that.
After that,
they've just got to try and do something that's going to make someone else want to show it.
Want to invest into it, that's right.
I think, unfortunately, what's happened there is, and I'm a big advocate of this, that Sky came in, they gave them all this money, they've had it for 20 years, blah, blah, blah. It's Sky's fault in the first place. That wages have gone sky high, no pun intended, but wages have gone up for players and things like that. Well, it was always going to happen.
You say it's Sky's fault, but, you know, Sky turned around, and I read this quite a lot from people saying, oh, it's all Sky's fault. It was like, well, Sky have put in X millions of pounds. Yeah. They've put their money where their mouth is. It's not up to them, you know, if they're giving it to Wakefield and they're throwing it on some average Aussie instead of improving the ground, that's not Sky's fault necessarily. And I think that's been part of the problem is, The rugby league clubs themselves probably haven't taken responsibility for what's happened. You know, like I say, it'd probably be an eye-watering amount if you worked out how much money Wakefield had had off Sky in the last 20 years. I bet it's probably the best part of 20 million.
I probably didn't put that
right. It's the same in football. The football's exactly the same. You know, if Sky pulled out of football tomorrow, instead of Man United's goalkeeper earning 300 grand a week, he'd probably have to earn 30 grand a week. You know, that's probably how it would go.
Still be nice though, wouldn't it?
So I think, you know, and I think that's got to be the reality. Of the situation. You have got, you can say it's Sky's fault, but it's like, well, I don't think you can blame Sky for coming along and throwing 50 million a year at Rugby League. You know, it's like, well, all right, well, I tell you what, how about Sky never put 50 million towards it? What would have happened then?
We wouldn't be in the situation we're in now, though, would we?
Well, I mean, but then you don't, you know, what situation would you be in? It could, you know, there's a reason why they took that money in the first place. You know, and all you should, you know, it's almost like a sponsorship. If a sponsor knocked on your door and said, we want to give you X million pounds to sponsor, you're going to say, because that's what you're looking for.
But it's
not then that sponsor's responsibility to make sure that you do the right thing for the game. You know, it's like any business, isn't it? You know, like if one of Dave's biggest customers just got to a point, I don't know, let's say they had 20 teams and then they decided they were going to fold the club because they'd all grown up or whatever. Well, that's just what happens. And, you know, all businesses have to have contingency plans and stuff like that in terms of if things go wrong. And it's just a case of, I think Rugby League's probably just
not
been reliant on it for too long.
I think that is the problem. We've got reliant on it. They've not used it properly.
They've just never thought this day was going to come. And I mean, that's maybe...
I'd like to have seen, you know, and obviously it's easy for me to say it. It'd be nice to have seen... I think probably it gets relinquished to the clubs too easily. Maybe it should have sat centrally for a bit longer. You know, and I know that the RFL have tried to bring in some, you know, ROI stuff and made sure the clubs work for it. But, you know, it strikes me that maybe more could have been done to make sure that the money got invested in the right areas rather than just throwing it to teams to do whatever they want with.
I think you've hit the nail on the head there. I think the what should have happened, to be honest with you, is it sat centrally and then it was applied for by the clubs correctly.
Given for specific projects that had a return to the game, to the club and to the game. But anyway,
it's unfair as well as that, you know, and obviously Whitehaven have probably suffered from this. In Championship, it's completely variable depending on where you finish in the league, which to me doesn't... The gulf between second in the table and 10th is just ridiculous.
So, I say, we're coming to the end of the... So, you know, just to sum up, James, some pretty hard decisions coming up. Probably the game's going to have to go through a bit of pain over the next few years, and all we can hope is that you know, the 30 odd clubs we have now are still with us, come the end of the decade. But it's going to take some there's going to have to be some hard decisions made, and as I say, casualties perhaps are going to be inevitable, which none of us really want. I think we don't want to see anybody going. So yeah, we'll see what happens. But as I say, prepare for a different future, I suppose, is what you're saying. Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah. So anyway, yeah. Thanks for joining. Before we go, James, your tips for the remainder of the season. Who's going to be the Super League champions?
St. Helens.
Yeah, you think it'll be too good for Catalans?
Yeah. Yeah, I think St. Helens will win it. Yeah.
And Toulouse.
Yeah, I think so. I tipped Featherstone before the season, but yeah, I'd be very surprised if Toulouse don't win it now.
Yeah, and what one that's of special interest to me in Stubbies is League One, where you've got two Cumbrian teams who are going through a bit of a wobble at the moment. Do you think one of them will come through? Or
yeah, what? I think Barrow will make it. I'd like North Wales Crusaders to make it up, actually, but you know, I fancy it to be Barrow and Workington.
Yeah, okay. Well, thanks very much. We're just about at the end of it. Absolutely great talking to you. Some really good points that you've made, and some. Yeah, we'll enjoy the rest of the season, and then we'll look forward to what lies ahead of us. But thanks for joining us, James. All the best.
Brilliant. Cheers, guys.
Okay,
cheers, James.
Thanks, cheers.
Thank cheers, Dave.
You. Okay, yeah. Cheers. Thank you.
See thanks, you later.
Here we go. We've done it. Yeah.
Yeah, less than a minute.